This conference will now be recorded.
Hello, my name is Justine Coffey, and I'm the director of the ASHP section of Ambulatory Care Practitioners. Today's podcast, Clinical Services in the Patient-Centered Medical Home, is brought to you by the Patient-Centered Medical Home Work Group, which is part of ASHP section of Ambulatory Care Practitioners Advisory Group on Compensation and Practice Sustainability. On behalf of the section and ASHP, I'd like to thank you for your attendance. Our presenters today will be Haimi Cho, Chris Lopez, Carrie Musselman, Monty Remick, and Will Seavey. Please go ahead and begin.
Will, go ahead and start beginning.
Hi, so my name is Will Seavey. I work for Eastern Maine Medical Center and Beacon Health ACO. We're a pioneer ACO in central Maine, a rural ACO. And I want to talk about some of the clinical services that our pharmacy has. We currently don't have a lot of ambulatory care practitioners, but we do have a couple in the system. We have about 18 offices that we're working with. So my first person that we have is a faculty member of a local school of pharmacy, and he works in a patient-centered medical home in an internal medicine clinic on a part-time basis. And his main focus is on working with our health coaches, our providers, and our care managers. He does not have a full practice set up when he's seeing patients frequently, but he mostly works with drug information and answering questions and doing a lot of phone visits with patients, especially ones who aren't at their lipid management goals or their hypertension goals, working within the quality measures in that area. He's only been there for a few months, so he's had some challenges getting buy-in from the providers. He's the first pharmacist that's come into a practice in our area. But in the last even month or so, he's seen a big increase in the interest in his services. And we're about to start a new initiative next month for our lipid management with the Pioneer ACO goal of getting patients not specifically to an LDL goal with the new guideline changes, but more getting people on the proper intensity of statin therapy. And we're going to use the LDL goal of less than 100 as a surrogate marker, but we're not going to be specifically aiming for that. A big piece of that also is going to be getting people off some of the combination therapies that we see a lot. So a lot of providers haven't, it's a big change for them. So I think the pharmacist is going to be very instrumental in making that happen. So the second pharmacist we have is in an office outside of our area, but it's another patient-centered medical home, and it's a Pioneer ACO member. So he started several months ago. He is working in the clinic on a part-time basis. He's employed by the clinic, and he is fulfilling more of a traditional ambulatory care pharmacist role. So with him just getting started, he's been working with new providers who, again, have never had a pharmacist before. So he's doing a lot of the typical drug information, but he's also doing MTM therapy in the office with providers. He's gotten consults from an infectious disease provider on education for injection therapy for hepatitis C. And he also has some Coumadin Clinic patients. He typically is getting the more difficult Coumadin Clinic patients that the providers are having a hard time managing or who are bridging around surgical procedures. And he's been doing very well. The number of patients he's seen in the office, both and by phone, has gone up every single month. And he just got expanded to an additional day a week at another office that's part of that small system. So we're pretty excited, and I think if we get some local data around the outcomes of the patients that he's seeing, and it will allow for better buy-in of our leadership here at Eastern Maine Medical Center. It's very difficult to get funding for a lot of positions right now, and national data is good as support, but I think local data they'll pay attention more to a little bit more closely. And the last part that our pharmacy group is working on is really setting up some of the management programs and giving providers the information that they need to reach some of the goals that the ACOs have. The biggest one that we're just about to start is the lipid control. The other one that we've been working on for about a year is CHF management, both getting patients on the right meds, but also getting diuretic protocols in place for our care managers and for our nursing home patients, so patients don't end up going to the ER or getting admitted into the hospital when it could have been avoided. So really setting some of those things up for those offices, and really pharmacy's been the one that's written those protocols. So it's been pretty exciting. So are there any questions right now, or do you just want to move on to the next person?
Chris, go ahead.
Hi, this is Chris Lopez. My official title is the lead clinical pharmacist of population health management for Dartmouth-Hitchcock Medical Center throughout the state of New Hampshire. I have sort of a unique experience in the patient-centered medical home in that I'm the first pharmacist hired in the ambulatory care setting in the entire system at Dartmouth-Hitchcock. The system at Dartmouth-Hitchcock consists of several different divisions. We have our main hospital and ambulatory care practices in Lebanon, New Hampshire. We also have practices which are just community-based practices in Nashua, New Hampshire, Manchester, New Hampshire, Concord, New Hampshire, and Keene, New Hampshire. And basically, as my role, I am going to each of the different divisions and working with the local medical administrators and medical directors to set up population health and patient-specific initiatives that are really specific and needed at each separate division. The hope is that after the pilot projects are initially created, they'll be disseminated to the other divisions, and then additional ambulatory care clinical pharmacists will be hired to staff at division-specific locations. So some of the things that I'm working on are polypharmacy consults at each of the divisions, where this is a non-encounter based, basically a glorified chart review, where patients are referred for a consult that basically it's behind the scenes and it's a service for the providers. And I set up some basic criteria for the providers to help them identify which patients would make the most sense to be referred. Recommendations are made based upon either clinical decisions or clinical guidelines and or cost initiatives, whereas certain patients that are on high cost regimens, some therapeutic substitutions are recommended, so that would actually ease the financial burden to the patients. In addition, in each of the specific divisions, we're engaging in medication therapy management appointments and working out the reimbursement models for those so that we can create a revenue stream to further support the program. We're doing some specific disease state management initiatives, which focus on specific ACO metrics. We're in a three ACOs, participant in three ACOs at this point. We're a Pioneer ACO. We are in a Cigna commercial ACO, and we are also our employees are in a specific ACO for which we have full risk. And right now, there are diabetes and hypertension disease state management projects that I'm working on, where we actually comb the registry, or I comb the registries, and make initial contact with each of the patients to get them into a disease state specific clinic where I work to, in the limited prescribing role in order to target specific ACO metrics, but also just the overall health of the patient. In addition to these, I've set up a diabetes shared medical appointments at two of the different divisions so that it's just another thing that we can offer patients that have been, the diabetic patients that have been through a number of educational offerings but are still not at goal. So we're targeting those patients that have A1Cs over 8%. I'm also have set up a post-hospital discharge appointments and chart reviews to make recommendations to the provider and help with medication reconciliation initiatives. We are at the very beginning of putting together a pharmacy falls consult service where patients that are identified as being at risk for falls are referred to the pharmacy or the clinical pharmacy department in ambulatory care, and we make recommendations to help as part of a multidisciplinary falls team. In addition, there's a lot of population health initiatives in cooperation with the Dartmouth Institute of Healthcare Policy, and we are evaluating a lot of the new clinical recommendations, for example, the JNC8, the new lipid guidelines and things like that, and trying to disseminate to the different primary care practices. And like I said, they're specific to each division, but as they become more supported and we get more staffing, we're going to disseminate and create a comprehensive pharmacy or ambulatory care clinical pharmacy practice so that there will be one or more pharmacy clinicians in each of the different divisions, and they'll report directly through me into kind of the powers that be at my institution. And that's pretty much it.
Thank you, Chris. Monty, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Monty Remick. I'm a clinical pharmacist at Sanford Health in Fargo, North Dakota. Our practice for ambulatory care started about 6 to 8 months ago. We were looking at really improving the diabetes numbers within our facility in the clinic. Currently, we have 3 pharmacists that work one shift. But each pharmacist works that shift only once daily, so it's not like there's 3 pharmacists each every day. And that one pharmacist that works each day actually rotates between 3 different clinics within the Fargo and Moorhead region. We have one in North Fargo, South Fargo, and in Moorhead. Our main focus for our program, like I said, was diabetes management. So what happens with our program is we have a report that we built that gets sent to us on a daily basis in the morning. That report puts any diabetic patient with an A1C greater than 8, labs that have not been done in over a year, which also include blood pressure medications or cholesterol medications, to this report, or if they're not even on any type of antiplatelet and if they're a diabetic patient. These patients are then reviewed for 2 reasons. First of all, for the pharmacist to help make recommendations on any of the drug management that needs to be done. And then second of all, for diabetic consults. Currently, we placed or put together a collaborative agreement with the state of North Dakota, and we are working on one right now with the state of Minnesota in order to write for medications and labs. So in the state of North Dakota, what we're actually able to do is write for medications and for labs for patients follow into this criteria and are also given a consult from the physician. For medication recommendations, things that we've been able to do, which we've seen a lot of improvement, is to actually help make recommendations to add antiplatelet and actually add statins to patients' regimens, especially with the new guidelines that recently came out. For diabetes, we've also seen an improvement too within the last couple of months in patients' A1Cs and blood sugars. For the consults, once a pharmacist is consulted to a patient, our pharmacist has been able to follow up more often with phone call consults than actual visits lately, and actually do a lot of medication counseling with these patients, and also taking down their blood sugars and deciding based on our protocol what to actually do with these patients for increasing or decreasing their insulin or starting a different oral medication with these patients. Besides the diabetic protocol and consultation program that we have, we've also been working on a few other things. We have consults going in for polypharmacy, which we've been able to meet with lots of patients to try and slim down their lists or even give recommendations to physicians. We've worked on medication reconciliation. We have a lot of patients that come in that have huge lists that need us just to kind of go through it and make sure that everything is in there correctly. We also do discharge medication review, and this is something that's kind of new for us currently. So for patients who have been discharged within 7 days, a pharmacist actually also gets a report that comes to them of these patients. We review their medication list and actually send the physician or the health coach our recommendations. A lot of the pharmacists that work in the ambulatory care also work in the hospital pharmacy, so we're able to see a lot of our P&T protocols that change medications, so we can see if those have affected patients' current medication lists. Some challenges that we've been having to work through, I think the biggest one has been workflow when it comes to working with health coaches, diabetic educators, and the new MyChart system that works with our Epic system that we're currently using. It's been kind of difficult sometimes to decide when to call a patient or set up appointments because patients also get called by many other people at the same time. So workflow is probably one of our biggest things that we're working on. One big thing that has helped is access to what we call our MyChart system, which is the system that patients can use to actually communicate with providers. This gives another opportunity besides a phone call for a patient to actually type into the system any questions that they have for a pharmacist or for their physician, or even to just send us what their blood sugars are, and then we can actually reply back to them and tell them how to actually titrate their insulin based on our protocols that we actually have set up. What our future plans are is we want to continue growing our program. Currently we have over 30 consults for our one pharmacist that works each day in these three different clinics. Once this gets more established, we're looking to do more on the billing side with this. And then hopefully as we're able to show more worth in this, we're looking to hopefully hire more pharmacists into this program so that someday we can actually grow into CHF management and also COPD are our other big targets that we will look forward to doing down the road.
Great. Thank you, Monty. Carrie?
Hi, I'm Carrie Musselman. I'm a clinical pharmacy specialist with the Bon Secours Medical Group. I'm based in Virginia. We have two different markets in Virginia. We have the Richmond market and the Hampton Roads market. Overall, we have over 70 practices, and we're at about 520 physicians. So one of the things that we started, I started because I was the first pharmacist to be hired in the ambulatory for our entire system, and that spans multiple states. But for Virginia, we do a lot of diabetes education in conjunction with our dietitian, a couple of CDEs, some of our case managers. We also have heart failure education that we participate in, covering the medications. We have referrals or consults for comprehensive medication reviews, NTM type of reviews, as well as medication reconciliation, therapeutic substitutions. We do a lot of drug information questions. There's three pharmacists in total. I just hired two, one for the Hampton Roads market. She started in October. The second one for the Richmond market, and she started in January. And all of us are going to be doing annual wellness visits. I've been doing Medicare annual wellness visits now for actually a little over a year at one of our internal medicine practices. The pharmacist that I just hired for the Hampton Roads market just started up with collaborative practice, seeing patients for Medicare annual wellness visits. The third we will be starting up as well in a couple of our different sites. One of the things that we're looking into is actually doing diabetes management specifically under collaborative practice. We're also doing policy and protocol development. One of the ones that we have already developed is a heart failure work algorithm, which includes diuretics, ACE and ARB titration, beta blocker titration, when to refer to cardiology, when to refer for palliative care. Along those lines, we're also working on diabetes as well as COPD. with in the future, we're going to be next expanding to AMI and ACS. For the actual workflows themselves, the pharmacist has been working on the disease state management, so the pharmacotherapy associated with the medications, and then working in conjunction with a physician as well as one of our nursing staff for our case management piece to make sure we have all of the pieces covered for the protocol development. That's just a quick overview of kind of some of the services we're doing. We're in multiple different practices based on when the consults can be referred. We do receive a lot of our consults from our what we call our RN nurse navigators, which are our RN case managers, and they are doing our post-discharge follow-up phone calls. So we're receiving a lot of polypharmacy and MedRec consults for them, as well as the patient is on multiple different medications. I need help cleaning up the list, or a patient cannot afford this. We've exhausted all sources. What do you recommend? What are some therapeutic alternatives? We get anything from a list for drug information based on assisting with risk management. So I'm involved a lot with our risk manager, as well as from all of our practice managers and other non-clinical staff, as well as our clinical staff, including physicians, TAs, and NPs. I'm also working with a NP transition program to transition our new grad nurse practitioners into actually practicing as a provider. I'm working with several of our NPs in that because I already have practice working with residents because I take pharmacy residents. And so it was just kind of one of those pieces that when we started looking at the program, they wanted to incorporate residency type situations. I think that's it.
Great. Thank you, Carrie. My name is Haimi Cho. I'm the Director of Ambulatory Pharmacy Care Transformation at University of Michigan Health System. We've had our patient-centered medical home services up and running since 2009. We currently have 14 health centers across our health system with pharmacists embedded in the patient-centered medical home. In the last couple of years, we've expanded into specialty area that includes cardiology, psychiatry, and chronic kidney disease clinics. And we have few other specialty clinics in the future that we're going to be evolving into as part of our ACO structure. One of the areas that we're focusing on in the past year, and we've actually just launched our pilot, and that is to collaborate with our community partners, and specifically with our community pharmacies. So we've formed a partnership with one of the large chain pharmacies to pilot a process of integrating clinical pharmacists into our patient-centered medical home and providing them an intense training so that they could go back out into the community and be able to work directly with our patient population, and thus moving the population management much out into the community versus holding them closer in our four walls of academic walls. So that has been a pilot that we've launched about a month ago, and there's a lot of interest and investment into this model to develop going forward. Another area we're focusing on is in the telehealth area. We've partnered with home care services to target those patients who are homebound. So if you think about the traditional provision of pharmacist care are typically either driven by patients coming to see the patients in the clinic, or we do an outreach over the phone. And there's an element of face-to-face interaction that really helps us to figure out drug-related issues and developing that relationship with patients. So we knew that being able to offer this alternative to patients who are not physically able to come and see us, this would open up a lot of opportunities to work with corridor patients whose needs are there, but unfortunately our current system is not able to meet those needs. So that's a pilot that started about a couple months ago, and we're looking forward to conducting a formal pilot study around this space. Another area that we've been working on is employer-based comprehensive medication review program. And this is the traditional CMR programs that we offer to our retiree population. And the success of this program has been much greater than we had anticipated in terms of patients being interested in taking up on this service line. If you look at the national average, CMI uptake is about 8 to 9%, depending on which literature you look at. Our initial enrollment for patients who are retirees of our health system, our uptake was in the 69%. So we're looking forward to really being able to tailor our program to our retirees and be able to help with their medication management and disease control. Last thing I wanted to talk about is our effort working directly with payers to improve STAR measures. STAR measures is really what's taking up the health plans in terms of meeting. There's this huge financial risk for the health STAR measures, not meeting the STAR measures for the health plan. And they're expressing great interest in learning more about how pharmacists could help shape and improve their STAR measures. So we're having earlier discussions with health plans to be able to support the infrastructure to target these initiatives. So that wraps up our introduction to our clinical services for patients at Omatica Home at different states. Justin, I'll take it back to you.
Thank you, Amy. So at this point, we're going to end our podcast. So thank you for your attendance, and I hope you have a great day.